This whole text was about what it looks like to express a deep labor of love. And we have this phrase in our culture, labor of love, and we use it kind of willy-nilly, but we don't quite take the time to think about what a labor of love actually is. For some people, we can focus on the laboring. We work really hard. We serve. We do the stuff. But we do it from a heart that is void of love. Wow. But then there's others of us who are romantics. We like the flowers. We like the sweet talking. We like R&B. We like to talk about love, but our love never shows up in labor. And so in this text, we see the coming together of these two concepts, laboring and love. And I will say that you really don't love someone until you're willing to actually labor for them.
Yeah.
And the only labor that God really wants is the labor that is birthed out of love.
Right.
Yeah.
So loveless labor, God does not desire. And listen to me, laborless love, God don't desire either.
Yeah.
So I am asking you, please, to put these two concepts together in this passage. Wow. There's going to be a dude named Jacob who is going to show us what it looks like to have a labor of love. And there are three different sections in this particular passage. We got wells, wives, and wombs. Pretty simple for anybody who's taking notes. Wells, wives, and wombs. And I pray that you can see through the wells, wives, and wombs, this beautiful concept called a labor of love. We begin with wells. And Jacob shows up once again to a well, just like his father's servant showed up to a well in order to retrieve a wife, just like his father's servant showed up to retrieve a wife. And he shows up to this well, and I want you to notice the text. It says, then Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east. Now, I don't like the way most of our translations write this. It says, then Jacob went on his journey. I think the CSB said he continued on his journey. But there's something artistic actually happening in the text. The text does not simply say that he went on his journey. That's just a normal way to say it. It could have said it like that. But the text actually says that Jacob picked up his feet. He picked up his feet. In other words, he had a pep in his step. There was something that had changed in Jacob. Jacob, remember, had been running. He is running from Esau, his brother. He is running because he had deceived Esau, his brother, and now Esau, his brother, wants to kill him. So he's running, he's running, he's running. And it's almost like Forrest Gump. He's running, but he's running with restraints on. He's running with braces on. And all of a sudden, he has a vision of a ladder that connects heaven to earth, a ladder that makes a passageway between a dream world through a pipe, if you will. And he has this pipe dream, and through this pipe dream, something breaks on him. The restraints are broken. He's now able to run and run in a different kind of way. There's a pep in his step because he now recognizes that he has a greater purpose than just seeking after a wife. He has the purpose of seeking Yahweh himself. There is a beauty that changes in the passage between chapter 28 and chapter 29. There's a pep in his step because he has a brand new purpose. I want you to know that many of us labor, many of us work, we have jobs, but we don't have a pep in our step because we're working just for bread and not for the bread giver. Oftentimes, because we have not centered ourselves around our encounter with Yahweh, all we're doing is laboring, but we're not laboring out of love. And then some of us are laboring out of love for the wrong people. We're laboring out of love just for our wife. We're laboring out of love just for our kids. But we're not laboring out of love for Yahweh himself. So when we show up to our job, we're tired, we're exhausted, we're frustrated, we're groggy. And it's all because we don't recognize the reason why God put us there in the first place. Ultimately, the reason is not just simply to support our families. The ultimate reason is that he has scattered us like seeds all amongst the field of the world in order to bring about the expansion of the kingdom of God. When you recognize your purpose, you get a pep in your step and you pick up your feet.
Yes.
Verse 2, as he looked, he saw a well, say well,
yeah,
in the field, and behold, three flocks, say three.
Three.
One more time, say three.
Three.
One more time, say three.
Three.
Three flocks of sheep lying beside it, for out of that well the flocks were watered. The stone on the well's mouth was large, and when all the flocks were gathered there, the shepherds would roll the stone from the mouth of the well and water the sheep, and put the stone back in its place over the mouth of the well. So the text is going to great lengths to show us two things: just how big this well is, and just how big the stone is that is on the mouth of the well. It's going to great lengths to show us just how big the well is, and just how big the stone is on the mouth of the well. It goes to great lengths to show us how big the well is, because it says not one flock, not two flocks, but three whole flocks are being watered from one well. This was not normative in this context for one well to water three different flocks. Matter of fact, one flock would be fed or watered by one well, and another flock would be watered by another well, and another flock would be watered by another well. But this one well is watering three different flocks. What a well this is. But not only does this well water three different flocks, but the stone on the mouth of the well, the text says, is large. And three different times it's going to mention how large the stone of the on the mouth of the well actually is. Because what is to come next will not make sense unless we really understand just how large the stone on the mouth of the well actually is. Verse 4, Jacob said to them, "My brothers, where do you come from?" And I just want to say this real quick. Him saying "my brothers" don't mean that they actually related. This is one of those places where our culture overlaps with their culture. So you know how we say, "Yo, what's up, bro?" But you ain't really family. They used to do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
It was a way of greeting somebody and saying "what's up" to somebody. "Yo, what's good, homie? What's up, bro?" And in the text, he's saying, "Yo, bros, where do you come from?" They said, "We are from Haran." That Haran keeps coming up.
Yeah, yeah.
He said to them, "Do you know Laban, the son of Nahor?" They said, "We know him." This would get Jacob excited, because this is exactly where his mother told him to go. He said to them, "Is it well with him?" They said, "It is well. And see, Rachel, his daughter, is coming with the sheep." So Laban is who he's been sent for. And the reason he's been sent to Laban is because his mom told him, "I want you to take a daughter from Laban's family." And boom, he shows up, and not only does God send him to people who know Laban, but as he's talking to people who know Laban, at the exact same time, the lady who he's been looking for shows up to have the sheep watered. Sounds very much like Isaac's servant, who at the same time when he was praying, at the same time when he was talking, God showed up in an answer to his prayer by showing him the very wife that his servant was, his owner, his master would actually take. Now I want you to notice something crazy in the text. It says, okay, it is well. See, Rachel, his daughter, is coming with the sheep. He said, "Behold, it is still high day, and it is not time for the livestock to be gathered together. Water the sheep and go pasture them." But they said, "We cannot until all the flocks are gathered together and the stone is rolled from the mouth of the well. Then we water the sheep." In other words, Jacob shows up. Jacob shows up to this well and he's like, "All right, bet I'm at the right place, because these people know the person that I'm looking for." While he's talking to them, Rachel comes with sheep who need to be watered from the well that he's standing at. He knows his dad and his mom's story of how they really met at a well, in a sense. And then Jacob is like, "Yo, it's happening again." So you can tell Jacob, no pun intended, is thirsty. Jacob sees what he knows he needs to see, and he like, "Yo, let's get this show on the road. I gotta water her sheep. She need her sheep to be watered, and we got to get this game going." They like, "But it ain't time yet, though." Jacob don't like that answer. So he says, go ahead, water the sheep. It's fine. They can be gathered together later, but let's water them, let them do their business, and we can come back after they've been watered. And they're like, nah, two prerequisites for the sheep to be watered. Number one, all the flocks got to be gathered together. Number two, the stone got to be rolled from the mouth of the well. Now, verse 9. While he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. Now, as soon as Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, Jacob came near. What did he do? And rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Jacob, in other words, is like, I don't really care about prerequisites. I don't care about cultural traditions. I see the lady I want and I see what she needs. So I need to, at this moment, express a labor of love. And what does the text say? And Jacob kissed Rachel and wept aloud. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's kinsman, that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. What's the show, Boy Meets Girl? Boy Meets World? Is it Boy Meets World? Boy Meets World. Boy Meets World? What's the boy's name? Topanga, and what's the dude's name?
Corey.
I don't even remember Topanga. Y'all know who I had a crush on. Corey? Corey's his name? This is Boy Meets Girl from Boy Meets World. This is, if you will, the first time Forrest Gump lays eyes on Jenae. You gotta say it like that. I love what Forrest said. He said, when the illest line, he said, I don't remember the day I was born. He said, I don't remember what gift I got for my first Christmas, but I remember the time when I first heard the sweetest voice in the wide world. Jacob is having one of them moments. Can I get a whoop from the dudes who've had that moment? Y'all gotta be stronger, husbands. Because your wife's sitting beside you. Can I get a hefty whoop from the brothers who have experienced? There we go. Yeah. Do something, right? If you really experience this depth of love, when you meet the one you really love, the one who your eyes are locked in on, the one whose voice is the sweetest voice in the whole wide world. I always say, like, Britney's voice is like water to me. And, like, I really feel like that. It just sounds like water, too. It's just smooth. And you think about this woman. Y'all want to know, like, how I met my wife? I was in a cafeteria. I was eating food, and I was thirsty. Take that however you want it. And in that cafeteria, we in the cafeteria right now, just like this. I was sitting all by myself, and like a Spike Lee joint. No, in the Spike Lee movies, they got them rolling on a little cart joint. Like a Spike Lee joint. It's like the Lord put her on a little cart. She rolled all the way across the cafeteria to meet. And Shorty was bad, y'all. I mean, she was bad then. Fine. Now, I'm not thinking she gonna want to talk to me, but then she says in that watery voice, can I sit down here? Now, again, inside, y'all, I'm doing a whole dance. The fireworks is going off. I'm going crazy. I'm jumping around, done a SpongeBob SquarePants swirl. But on the outside, I had to be as smooth as she was. Yeah. I put on my deepest 14-year-old voice. I could possibly say. And I said, absolutely, miss. Y'all felt that, right? I needed her to feel that. And she sat down and we had the most amazing conversation. Now, I ain't kiss her. That's too much. I ain't do all that. I would have got stolen in the face. Brittany got hands, too. Y'all ain't know that part. That's for another day. I ain't kiss her, I ain't grab her, I ain't weep aloud, none of that. But I knew that I had found what I felt was the thirst quencher. That this person, this one woman, satisfied me just in our conversation in a way no other woman ever had. And I fell deeply in love from the moment I met her. Now, we ain't talk for the next 3 years. Don't get it twisted. It was messy. It was crazy. And also, she didn't feel the same way. So that's another part. It has to be reciprocated. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. One more time. Amen. It got to be reciprocated. But I, like Jacob and Forrest Gump, felt something I had never felt before. Have you been there?
I have.
Amen. Amen, Pastor Ike. Amen, amen. Husbands, have you been there?
Amen.
Husbands, have you been there?
Amen.
Here's my question. Does it still feel like to her that you're still there?
Yes.
I guess the right answer is yes from the wives. Not like
that's a good word,
this though. Passage is so romantic, filled with love, affection, infatuation, that you can almost get caught up in the wonder of it.
Yeah.
And it's meant to be that beautiful. We just read by it and just skip past it and just and not slow down. You feel the need to go to romantic novels.
Come on, Doc.
To get your fill of romanticism.
Yeah.
When it's been in the text all day long.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, come on.
From the rip, Jesus has been on romanticism.
Yeah.
He likes that. Matter of fact, he wrote a whole book called what?
Songs.
I just got through that, Joel. I would actually encourage singles not to read that too much. Unless you got a Christological lens through which you're reading it.
Yeah, right.
Because like a good R&B song.
Right.
It awakens love before it's time.
Right, come on.
There are some places in the scripture that are given to us for romanticism. But here's the deal. The goal is not for you to feel infatuation.
Come on.
The goal is that you experience transformation through a covenant called marriage.
Yeah, that's good, God.
I didn't hear any amens on that.
Yeah.
Marriage, the covenant, actually changes things.
Yeah.
It does.
And this is why the Song of Solomon says, do not awaken love before its time. Be careful. That you don't feel all these gushy-wushies and start to apply the gushy-wushies before the gushy-wushy can be applied through the covenant.
Right.
Yeah. Come on. It's got real light on the amens right there. It's cool, though. It's cool. What I'm saying to y'all is that you don't have to go to a novel to find the romantics that you like.
Yes.
Come to the scripture. But do so with a mind and an understanding that not only can you get the romantics you like from the scripture, but you also have to do it in the way the scripture prescribed.
Yeah, come on, that's good.
Amen?
Yeah.
So this is basically, if I could put it like this, a wife at the well part two. It happens again. And at this well, he meets the woman that he loves. Now, we move to the second section. And I want you to notice something beautiful about this section. We can entitle this Wives. It says, verse 13, as soon as Laban heard the news about Jacob's sister, his sister's son, he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. Woo-wee! I'm going to preach that one more time. As soon as Laban heard the news, a father heard news about Jacob, a younger son, his sister's son, he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. Jacob told Laban all these things. Can I just say something? This is actually the exact same language that Jesus picks up in the prodigal son parable.
Wow.
That there was a younger son. who sinned ferociously, went to a distant land, and then in his repentance comes back, and the father runs, meets, embraces, and kisses the younger son. I don't know if you know that this younger son also sinned ferociously. He was a deceiver, a trickster. And in the middle of all his sin in a distant land, he receives an embrace, mind you, from a person who was not his father that he never got from his dad.
Wow. 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 My goodness.
God, through Laban, who we're going to see his scene in a second, actually redeems the one who is unredeemable.
Wow. Wow, wow.
And we see in this portrait a picture of the prodigal son. Where are all my prodigals? You don't got to say amen. We all fit in that number. I want you to know that there are ways that a sovereign God can use the unexpected person to redeem you, the unredeemable, and allow for you to experience an embrace that you never received where you should have received it from. We have to set up the context, because otherwise this is what we'll do. We'll think in our Genesis reading, Laban, evil, Jacob, good.
That's so true.
So we'll put people in bad or good categories and not see that all these people are complex. Laban does an extremely amazing thing, and I want to put something on top of it. He doesn't only do an amazing thing, he does a redemptive thing, not even knowing it. But notice the text. Jacob told Laban all these things. Say all these things. All these things. Say all these things. All these things. All these things. One more time. Now, what are all these things? Does he just simply tell him what happened at the well? Does he tell him how he got to the well? Does he explain to him what happened before the well? Does he let him in on his trickery and how he tricked Esau out of the birthright and the blessing? How much of all these things did he really let him know? What characterizes all these things? We don't really know. The text is left ambiguous, but Laban says something interesting. He says, "Surely you are my bone and my flesh," and he stayed with him a month. Whatever Jacob said to him, Laban said, "Oh, you definitely blood."
Wow.
Yeah.
Like whatever he said to him, Laban immediately knew, "Oh, yeah, we related." Could it be that Jacob did let him in on the trickery, but maybe not in such a way that made him look that bad? And even in letting him in on the trickery in a way that didn't make him look so bad, Laban could sniff the fact that Jacob was still saying in a way that didn't make him look so bad. And he like, "Oh yeah, you definitely my flesh and my blood."
Right.
Because a deceiver knows a deceiver when they see one.
Yeah.
You want to know something real about all the stuff that annoy you about other people?
Stop it.
Y'all don't want this. But the stuff that just drives you insane about your friends, about your family members, about your kids, about your wife, about your husband, the stuff that really bother you about your enemies is only stuff that really bothers you because you know it on the deepest level.
Yeah.
Because you are the very thing that you hate.
Yeah.
It got so quiet.
I agree.
I said this a long time ago. This is gonna be a quiet church. Because when you want me to say, no, I ain't gonna go there again.
Great.
Because you really want me to say, no, I'm good. I'm off that. But I really want to preach how y'all want me to preach it, though.
Don't do it.
All right, cool. Because you would love to be the hero of this story. You don't want to be the deceiver who can detect other people who deceive, because that means that you're actually one who is deceptive yourself.
Right.
You don't like that.
Yeah.
But the stuff you're really irritated by, why are you so irritated by it?
Yeah.
Why is it so easy for you to judge the motivations of that person's heart? Is it that you know the heart that gives rise to those actions?
Yeah.
Because you yourself have seen it in you?
Yeah.
I can't stand inauthentic people. You know why? Because I lived a life where I was all the way inauthentic.
Yeah.
By the way, this is why I could go overboard sometimes in confession. You might have experienced for me already. I'll just text you after a conversation, call you after a conversation. We can just be in a conversation and I just stop and say, hey, in my heart, I'm convicted. I just need to say it out loud. Why? Because I'm a natural sin hider. So in order to try to like overcome it, I just do like crazy stuff. Because I'm constantly trying to fight not for what I naturally am, but against who I naturally am.
Yeah, come on, Doc.
That's
right.
So I'm just like, anybody else just naturally inauthentic? So you can't stand inauthentic people? You don't gotta raise your hand. So you real quick to catch people who capping. Because you a capper.
Yeah.
And you know what it looked like.
Yeah. Wow.
And you watching it, and you're like, nah, he lying. How you know? You know all the signs, don't you? Matter of fact, you can dissect they lying. He was actually telling the truth right here, and he was just using that as like ranch dressing on the carrots so that you can eat it and still not know that you're eating carrots, because he really want to feed you a lie, but he gotta dress the lie in truth.
Right. Yeah.
Dang, that was a very good analysis from someone who knows nothing about it.
Right.
Yeah, I just, you know, I saw that on TV one time. Nah, that's you though.
Yeah, that's good.
Laban the deceiver knows how to detect another deceiver because he himself is deceptive. So he like, oh, yo, you blood. Jacob don't know what he's talking about. But he like, yo, you really blood. Now, I want you to notice the text. Then Laban said to Jacob, because you are my kinsman, we relative, we family, we blood, should you therefore serve me for nothing? He's so kind. So gracious. He said, tell me, in other words, you know this, we got this like thing in like, especially in like black neighborhoods where like your homies start a business and they're never able to really get their business going because you always asking for the hookup.
Right. Yeah.
Yo, I'm making beats now. Yo, can I get one of the beats off you? Yeah, you gotta pay. Yo, it's good, man. It's a business. This is what a business does. You gotta pay for it. And this is honestly, can I just say this? Like, this is why we never can get stuff going. Because we always want for free from our friends, but we'll pay our enemies.
That part.
So that's why we just can't never get nothing going, yo. And so real rap, it's almost like he like, yo, we blood and all, so I could make you work for free. You see how disrespecting and dishonoring that is?
Yeah.
So by setting it up like what I could do, whatever he says next is going to sound amazing.
Yeah.
But notice what Jacob says. Jacob been waiting for this question. He said, now, verse 16. Now, Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah. The name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were weak. Somebody say weak. How long do I stay? I ain't gonna stay there. Yeah, let me just move on. But Rachel was beautiful in form. I'm in the text.
Yeah.
I am in the text. I have not gotten in the flesh. I'm in the text. Beautiful in form and appearance. Somebody say and appearance. Help me, Jesus, Spirit of God, to bring out what is in the text. Say in the text.
In the text.
She had the face and a body. I'm in the text. I'm still in the text. I promise. I ain't going straight far from this. She had the face and the body. All scripture is God breathed. Amen. I'm in a text still. All scriptures, God, I'm just quoting text. So to have a natural attraction to face and form and foreign to the Father.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Come on.
He created us this way. Wow. Oh, is anybody? Oh, I get real quiet when we just get real.
Oh, man.
Okay. So everybody and a mama can notice Rachel look different though. And for some reason, Rachel's sister from the same mama just don't quite cut it. Does God hate Leah?
No.
Because he created her in a way that not everybody can recognize her beauty?
Come on, dog. Come on. Come on, dog.
See, this is where our Americanism has to flip.
Yeah.
Because we think by God addressing the fact that Rachel looked good is somehow saying something different than it will say later about true beauty. No, actually, 1 Peter gets it right when he says that there is another kind of beauty that the Father's eyes are really locked in on, which is a gentle and quiet spirit.
Yeah, amen.
Hear me, ladies. You, help me, Lord Jesus. You have to be so careful in a society, and I'm going to straight up say it, and even in a city and a state, where everybody is changing their face and their body in order to attract people. You have to be so careful that you don't get persuaded in what the Father believes is beautiful. Do y'all hear me in here? Because you can get so caught up in looking at other women who, first of all, pay for what you see. That you start to get unknowingly depressed based on what you see in the mirror. And you start to compare constantly when that is not the purpose of what God is doing. What God is actually doing in actually allowing for people to be outwardly beautiful is showing you that what you guys see with physical eyes in a Rachel, I see with spiritual eyes in a Leah.
Come on, God. Come on, God.
And you see how you're drawn to that? I'm drawn to that.
Yeah.
You see how you like that? I like that. You see how that is gorgeous to you? This is gorgeous to me. Now, I want to say this too. Help me, Lord Jesus. Jacob loved Rachel. Can I say this as well? The fact that Rachel looked good does not delete the other reasons that Jacob loved her. Because this is what we'll also do. They only like them because they pretty though. Nah, he had a story. It wasn't Leah who showed up to the well. It was Rachel.
Yeah.
It wasn't Leah who he first saw. It was Rachel. Maybe if Leah was the shepherdess who showed up to the well, he would have fell in love with her as well. But it was actually Rachel. So Jacob has a layer of reasons why he's in love with Rachel. I need all of this to be set up because what's about to happen next needs all of this context. And he said, I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. I don't know if he could already tell the flattery from Laban. So he already like, I know how you are, Laban. So I want to specify who it is. We'll be very clear. Younger daughter, Rachel. Not older daughter, not just daughter. Younger daughter, Rachel. Notice the text. Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to another man. Stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the what?
Of the love.
love he had for her.
Wow. 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 Wow.
A labor of love.
That's right.
Wow.
For Jacob, he hears 7 years. But in his heart, it's but a few minutes because of how strong his affection is for what he's working for.
Teach this one.
Like, when you really love something, you are willing to labor for it. And the labor that you're willing to labor for don't even really feel like labor. Because of your love. Sisters, give me a woot. Give me a woot. Give me a woot.
Yeah.
Eric said, what we woot for though? What we woot for? You can tell a lot by how much he loves you, by how he serves you. Like, I hope y'all are getting through all of the preaching that it ain't about what is said.
Come on, Doc. Yeah.
It's about what is shown.
Yes.
Yeah. It's good.
Any dude can figure out a way to spit game.
Right.
Yeah.
And we out here spitting game and playing games.
Yeah, we talk about it.
But it only takes someone who truly has been loved to show you what love really looks like.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank
Can
you.
I just say this, please?
Yes.
Don't give away your love to laziness.
Ooh. Come on, sir. Come on.
That's all right.
Do not give away your love to laziness.
Jesus.
This dude worked hard. Man, I wish my daughter was on the front row, but she's serving. See, she's serving right now. And so as a father, I'm going to have a hard time with any dude who going to come to her and he don't serve in the church.
Come on, God.
Oh.
Because how you going to match her service? She been serving since she was 11 years old.
Right.
Yeah.
Come on.
So Zipporah, prophetically, please don't give away your love for laziness.
Yeah.
But I'm talking to my singles. Where are my singles at? Hey, God. Quiet. Where are my sisters at?
Yeah.
I don't hear no more whoops. It's okay. It's okay. Don't give away your love to laziness.
Yeah.
It's just not worth it in the end.
Yeah.
Because if he really loves you, you will see it in his labor.
Yes.
And for him, it won't even feel like work. You're going to be like, you didn't have to. And he's going to say from the depth of his heart. And you're going to know it because it ain't going to sound like game.
Yep.
I know, but I just had to. Because when you're really in love with someone, you don't mind laboring for them. And here's the reality about labor. Labor is always a loss. He lost 7 years on this. 7 years. I'm 36 right now. That would make me 43. When I was 28, that would mean I'd be working until I was 35. Do you see how long of a time that is? 7 years. And he said that John felt like no time at all. Because of what he was working for. Because of who he was working for. Can I say this, please, one more time? Do not give away your love for laziness. Because anybody can say stuff with their lips, but it's only the real ones who are going to say it through their labor. Now, I want you to notice the text. Then Jacob said to Laban, I love this. All the politeness is gone. I don't care nothing about saying it the right way. And I really, at this moment, don't care that you are her dad. Give me my wife. Hey, somebody say, give me my wife. Don't put the V on there. Give me my wife. One more time. I like you speaking in tongues. Give me my wife. That man said, I don't care who you are in her life. I did what I gotta do, so you do what you gotta do. Give me my wife. One more time, give me my wife. Why though?
Yeah,
this is the part I need help. Spirit of God.
Say what he said.
I'm in the text though. That I may go into her, leave that alone. For my time is completed.
Yeah, yeah.
Fulfilled. You know, finished.
Wow.
He said, I didn't do what I need to do. I have finished my work. So now give me what I have worked for.
Yeah.
And he said, and just so that we don't have any confusion, I ain't talking about an engagement now. I am ready for consummation. Now notice this. Please hear me this. Please hear me on this. So Laban, no response. No words. So Laban gathered together all the people of the place and made a feast. But in the evening, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and he went in to her. Laban gave his female servant Zilpah to his daughter Leah to be her servant. Verse 25. And in the morning, behold, somebody say behold. By the way, what the text is doing right here is this is getting into the mind of somebody in the text. So most of the time it's narrating. Right now it's saying it as Jacob would have felt it. Like, yo, who this? And Jacob said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? Did I not serve with you for Rachel? He worked for it. He worked for her.
Oh, wow.
Why then, deceiver, have you deceived me? Laban said, it is not... This is the illest comeback in the world. Y'all got to slow down and catch this joint. Laban said, it is not so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. This is a bar right here. He said, I don't know how y'all do it out there with the firstborn getting the blessing and the birthright of the older. But here we got standards. Yo,
wow.
It's just been better if he just backslapped him in the face. Will Smith ministry, right? Like, just check out. Like, Laban comes back so cold. What can Jacob say? He don't got nothing to say. Verse 27. Complete this week, the week of this one, and we will give you the other also in return for serving me 7 years. And Jacob don't say nothing.
Oh, wow.
Because he knows what Laban has just said. Can I say something real quick? Yeah, yeah. I know Forrest Gump. Mama always said, what? Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Jacob experienced that with a wife, though. That how your wife become like a box of chocolates. You don't know which one you're going to get like that. But this is what happens when the deceiver gets deceived. Be careful what you do to others. Be careful how you treat others. Be careful how you exploit others, because it always feels different when it comes back around. It always feels different when it comes back around. There's injustice on so many levels, I can't even express it. One, he's exploiting him from work. Think about this. Laban knew the whole time this was his plan. You mean you couldn't have told me you was going to give the older? Now you saying it like this is our custom. It wasn't your custom 7 years ago? No, no, forget that. 6 years ago. 5 years ago. At some point in time, you couldn't tell me, hey, just so you know, at the end of all this, I still got to give my oldest daughter. And you have to work for my younger. Why does this so noble of a man not tell the truth if it's just custom? Because sometimes we can use custom, tradition, dare I even say theology, to exploit other people. You use whatever you need to in order to receive the exploitation that you think you deserve.
Jesus.
Is this not what chattel slavery was in America? Did they not get people to work for nothing? And if it was just what it was, why convince them that this was God's view for them? That this was God's purpose for their lives. If it is what it is, let it is be. But they went further though. They had to give a reason for their exploitation. It's almost as though they were saying to them, here in the scriptures, the African serves the European. We don't know how y'all do it there. But this is how we do it here.
Wow. Come on, sir. Come on, sir. Jesus, help us.
And it hurt a lot of people. Not just those who were enslaved, of course.
Generations. Wow.
But generations to come.
Yes, it did.
It sounds like even in the text, the same thing happens.
Yeah.
For the exploitation of Jacob doesn't only hurt Jacob. But it also hurts the people that he say he loved, his own daughters. Because the one who he just threw in the pot, I don't even know what that conversation was like. Hey, Leah, you ain't married yet. Homie is working for 7 years, and by the end of this, he working really for your sister, though, and by the end of this, I'm actually, like, gonna give him you. He loved your sister. He working for your sister. He laboring for your sister. And you see, look at his smile on his face. He's just laboring joyfully. But then I'm going to give him you. He really wants your sister. He really loves your sister. He's really attracted to your sister. But at the end of all of this, I'm going to give him you. So she has to comply with being you. Have you ever just felt like you?
Come on, sir.
Talk.
Like you.
Yeah.
Like you. Like, it's so bad that he gives her a dowry. But by the time the dowry is even thought of, which is another servant, Leah is already experiencing the non-love of her forever husband. As soon as the Joker wakes up with her, who are you? What are you doing here? Can you imagine on your honeymoon, the day you consummate the marriage, immediately your husband lets you know what it really is? I don't really like you anyway.
Wow.
The strain that's put on his daughter, who he apparently loves, is devastating. Because when your heart is towards exploitation, you don't care who is involved in the exploiting. Friends, this is the heart of injustice. But listen to me. And don't stop there, do it. Because they're going to have children who will begin and continue to exploit one another based on who had them.
Yeah.
generations to come will experience the one act of exploitation from this dad. Yo, all eyes here, please. Be careful how you treat those who are under your care.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's a business. I don't care if you're a boss in another company. I don't care if you're a teacher at a school. I don't care if you manage a store. Be careful how you treat those who are under your care. The text says that God watches them. He looks after them. His eyes are fixated upon the least of these. And he's watching them to see how you are treating them. Now, I want you to notice this final thing in this section. Jacob did so and completed her week. Her week is the celebration week. Celebration week. Okay. Then Laban gave him his daughter, Rachel, to be his wife. Laban gave his female servant Bilhah to his daughter Rachel to be her servant. So Jacob went into Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah. Say more than Leah. More than and Leah. Served Laban for another 7 years. Now, mind you, in this cultural context, you would pay max like 50 shekels for a wife. That was like the max price. Well, 7 years of working would have gained him almost 100 shekels. So he's working quadruple the years for the one wife that he actually wants. Now, the text says Jacob went into Rachel and he loved Rachel more than Leah and served Laban another 7 years. What I'm trying to say to you is that Jacob, listen to me, although it was not required, he decided because of his labor of love to work overtime for the wife he really wanted.
Right.
When you really love someone, you don't matter how long it takes to wait.
Yeah.
You are in the game of waiting because you know that this person is prized in your eyes. So we move, listen to me, from the wells to the wives, now to the wombs. Verse 31. When the Lord saw, say saw, that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Can I just say this as a side note? Leah's suffering because she's hated by her husband. Rachel now is suffering because her womb is barren. You never know what God is doing in the background of all of our suffering, y'all.
Yeah, yeah.
Because imagine, I'm just saying, imagine if the womb of Rachel was opened as well as Rachel being loved. Can you imagine how much hatred would have been towards Leah?
Yeah.
Wow. It's not to say barrenness is good. Please don't get this twisted. But it is to say in the hands of a sovereign God, it brings balance to an already corrupt situation. Do y'all hear me in here? So then notice the text. And Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. By the way, going back to this, this is why the Lord says, my ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. There is stuff that God is doing that we couldn't even understand from his purview. And we see two angles and we think, well, how could you? And you have no clue what he is accomplishing in the midst of all of your pain. So the hardest place to get to is the place that we need to get to. And it's the place that my mentor has like repeated in the moments where I was crying the loudest in his ear. He says to me over and over again, begin to embrace your suffering, recap. Begin to embrace your suffering, recap. So I'm weeping, I'm crying. And I'm, begin to embrace your suffering, recap. Yeah, I know, but it hurts. I know. But begin to embrace your suffering, recap. Man, I know this is the worst. Yes, it is. Begin to embrace your suffering, recap. And he would say this over and over again. And I'm like, finally, I said, where is this coming from? He said to me some words that I'll never forget. He said, if you were able to live this life without suffering, you would never truly know need.
Ooh. Wow. Jesus.
Think about it, y'all. It ain't our successes that drive us towards desperation.
Right.
Yeah.
It's our pain.
Right.
It's our suffering.
Right.
Yeah.
It's our need.
Yeah.
David writing all these songs because of his need, because of his pain, because of his suffering. When things are going well, I thank the Lord. I praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But even when things are going well, the reason why we know how well it's going is because we went through some stuff that was so awful.
Yeah.
The reason why the Pharisees did not turn to Jesus is because they did not have need. He said, but if you knew you had need, you would turn and be healed. But because you think you don't need a physician, you will remain in your physical state. Because you think you see, your blindness remains. But it's for those who know they don't see that they can actually be healed of their blindness. Over and over again, it's the people of need. The woman bent over needed Jesus. She didn't just want him, she needed him. The woman with the issue of blood needed Jesus. We all need Jesus. The question is, do we know it?
Right.
When you are barren, you know it.
Yeah.
When you are hated by your husband, you know it.
Yeah.
And both of those needs draws them into dependency upon Yahweh. Yeah. Wow. Verse 32. And Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, the Lord has looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me. Can y'all feel the emotion of this text, y'all?
Yeah.
We got a labor of love in that he went and opened a well that usually took groups of people. He's just superhuman strength. See his wife. You ever been on a basketball court? You just start hooping. Because she there, though. So Jacob gets superhuman strength because he sees his wife. He like, boom, I can move the stone by myself. Samson ministry. Then we see a labor of love because it was light work for him to work 14 years because he loved her. But now we see Leah's labor of love.
Yeah.
From her womb. Because she's literally going into labor in order to receive the love of her husband.
Wow. Lord Jesus.
I want you to feel the emotion. If I can just have a child with him, he will finally like me. If I can just have his baby,
okay.
He'll marry me.
Uh-oh.
Ooh. If he can just get me pregnant, he'll stick around. I know that's not our day and age. But if I can just have his child, one who reflects his image, if I can just do that, he'll have no choice but to stick around. Is this too real for y'all?
Nah, it's facts. We need all that.
Like, I know sisters who have done this, though. They just thought, man, if it was first like, I like this guy, but I want him to like me. But he don't really seem to pay attention to me. So then it just starts off with, well, maybe if, like, we do something physical,
yeah,
I'll get his heart.
Yeah.
And then it's like, Daddy, he still don't like me. Because I won't give away my body fully to him.
Yeah.
And he keeps nagging me about that and keeps nagging me about that and keeps nagging me about that. So you know what? Finally, I'll do it. And you give your body to them. And he's still looking past you. Still cheating. Still ain't faithful. Still don't have his heart. So it's like, so maybe if I can have his child, he'll finally become faithful. And then you have the child and he leaves faster than when you were just opening your legs.
Jesus.
That's where Leah is. And the part that breaks my heart so much more for her, though, is that she didn't put herself in this situation.
Right.
Right.
This was her daddy.
Wow.
Lord Jesus, help us. It's so many layers to the exploitation and wickedness and deceit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, where do we even go from here?
Yeah.
Like, this is why I had no title, by the way.
Yeah.
I was sitting here with a text, and I was like, yo, I don't know how to even talk about all the layers of wickedness.
Yeah.
How do I have a conversation from this text with dads about how we cover our daughters?
Right.
Right.
Pastor Ike already preached on this.
Yeah, yeah.
How are you really covering your daughters?
Yeah.
What are you teaching them about their interaction with dudes, though?
Yeah.
What they should be looking for, though?
Yeah.
Who they should be searching for, though? We be having daughters and not treating the girl who we with, who is somebody else's daughter, with the dignity we want our own daughters to be treated with.
Come on.
And then believe somehow that our daughters are going to be treated in a way that we ain't treating their moms?
Wow.
Come on.
My Lord.
Help us, Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
Like y'all, I'm so exhausted with the same cycle.
Yeah.
The same cycle. The same cycle. Well, this is how I saw my dad treat my mom, so maybe this is how I myself should be treated.
Jesus.
So if moms was abused, abuse becomes normal.
Yeah.
If mom was yelled at, being yelled at becomes normal.
Right.
If mom was cursed out, then being cursed out becomes normal.
Yeah.
And then, here's what breaks my heart. Then, when your daughter gets cursed out, you want to go fight the dude?
Yeah. Talk.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's only repeating the actions that he didn't see you, that you carried out on her mother.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow.
Do you know why this is why Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am?
Yeah.
It's this kind of wickedness, this kind of sin.
Yeah.
Paul sees just how deep depravity actually is. This ain't the cute, we're all just messed up. No, this is when it gets real, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all coming from these broken situations.
Yep.
And sisters, hear me. Do not allow yourself to be treated based on how your mom was treated by your dad.
Come on, sir.
Because you have a different dad.
Amen.
Yeah.
And the Father in heaven would never treat your mother this way. Be dealt with how your Father in heaven would treat your mother.
Yeah.
Be loved how he would love. Be cared for how he would care for you. That we have to get our eyes somewhere else, because otherwise this cycle will continue, y'all.
Yeah.
And we will keep being Leah, looking for love in the wrong places. But not only that, verse 33, she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I was hated, he has given me this son also.
Lord Jesus.
Oh. I'm going to say something at the end of this that, Lord Jesus, help me with this. Okay, and she called his name Simeon. This almost sounds like Hagar, who was heard and seen. But then verse 34, it happens again. And again, she conceived and bore a son. And now this time, my husband will be attached to me. Going all the way back to Genesis chapter 2. And the husband shall, the man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast, cling, be attached to his wife. She is praying back what has already been said, that a husband is supposed to be attached to this wife. How is he being attached to her body and not to her soul?
Wow. Wow, my God.
Wow.
Therefore, his name was called Levi. And she again conceived again and bore a son. I love this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everything shifts finally.
Yeah.
Three times, He's seen my affliction from my husband. Three times he's seen the pain from my husband. Three times he's seen all of this hatred that I'm experiencing from my husband. And finally she says, I need a new husband.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
This time I will praise the Lord.
Wow.
Therefore she called his name Judah, and the text says, not Rechab. Then she ceased bearing. This ain't a light text, yo. So there's no light way to conclude this. Can I say something very raw to you? Jacob did not love Leah, but he had no problem lusting with her.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
The evil one would want to twist your mind to think because he makes out with you, because he feels on you, because he wants your body, he actually wants you. He could care less about her and has no problem exploiting her body. There was a lady who gave me some of the wisest words I've ever heard. I was pastoring teens, and I was seeing teen after teen. This was in the middle of North Philly. I was seeing teen after teen lose their virginity. And I was seeing all of these young ladies starting to get pregnant. And I'm like, what's the deal? They're loved in here. They're cared for in here. Like, what is going on? She said something I'll never forget. She said, you know how men have these urges, these desires? They want something. She said, that's not how women work. They don't want something like that. They want to be wanted.
Yeah.
And that desire to be wanted is as strong as the dude's desire to want.
Yeah.
So you know how you have dudes who've been in the same sexual sin pattern over and over and over again? It's because he has to have something. The lady is flipped, and they have to have someone who wants to have them. And it helped me so much to have compassion for these young ladies. So then this is where, from that day on, from that day forward, this is when my craziness towards dudes started happening. Because something got to break the cycle, though.
Yeah.
Something got to give.
Yeah.
This is where I started getting on. This is where I started to lose my mind. This is where I started to go ham on dudes. This is where, even in my preaching, like premarital counseling, everything, people be like, yo, why you so hard on me? I got to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you going to get it, though.
Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. And where I'm talking to you, fellas, because we be out here playing games with girls' souls.
Preach.
Like, this is the daughter of the Most High Living God.
Yeah.
And we out here playing games with their soul.
Yeah.
Have mercy.
Mercy. Wow.
We hooked up? What? God said the body of a woman is so valuable that in order to have it in his economy, you got to give your life for it.
Yeah, bro.
People don't understand. Well, why get married? That's why.
Yeah.
Because the covenant of marriage is till death do us part.
Right.
Because the only gift that can actually say it's worth it is you giving a life for a life. My sister, see your body that valuable, man. See your body that valuable, y'all. I don't care what he says. If he don't love Jesus,
right.
He hasn't experienced the love that he will need to love you.
Yeah.
Run.
Yeah.
Flee.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
And if you gotta wait for the rest of your life, know this. Judah was coming.
Yeah.
Wow. Come on, Doc.
Turn your eyes from the Reuben, the afflictions of your soul.
Yeah.
Turn your eyes from the hatred. Turn your eyes from the need for attachment. Because he has seen your affliction. He has heard your cry.
Yeah.
And listen to me, he wanted to be attached to you.
Yeah.
Judah was coming. The reason why there is a ceasing of bearing, I believe, and the reason why God the Holy Spirit gives a pause in the text. We don't even understand why they stopped it in chapter 30. Why not just keep going? Or why not stop it before verse 31? Somehow, some way, someone knew that everything needed to pause at the birth of Judah.
Come on, Doc.
And here comes the true Judah, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And your Lord Jesus Christ was coming in an opposite way than Jacob. Jacob went to a well to get a wife, and the Lord opened her womb. Jesus went through a womb to get a wife, and the Lord opened the well.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
He was running after you. He was running harder than Forrest.
Yeah.
It was almost as though we, the church, are nothing but Jenny. And I don't know if you've ever watched Forrest Gump, but the pursuit of Jenny makes no sense.
Yeah. It makes absolutely no sense. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he went hard for her.
She out here doing drugs.
Yeah.
Orgies. Drinking parties, lawless idolatry.
Yes.
Whether you know it or not, I'm actually quoting 1 Peter about us. And yet Forrest, who was once running from a bully, is now running after a wife. Jacob, who was running from a bully, is now running after a wife. Jesus is running after a wife. Because of a bully.
Wow. Help us, God. Thank you.
And the Lord Jesus Christ proves his love. How? By laboring for us.
Yeah.
And he labored for 33 years, y'all. Not seven. 33 years of perfection. 33 years of service. 33 years of obedience. And the last three was intense ministry. And at the end of 3 years of intense ministry, he's exhausted, he is tired, and he is crucified. I'll never forget that moment in Forrest Gump where he said, I've been running for 3 years. 3 years, 12 days, and 14 hours. I don't know how long the 3 years was for Jesus, but the crowd, just like in Forrest, was waiting to hear what he had to say. And he said, be quiet, hush, we got to hear what he's going to say. And then Forrest says those words, I'm tired, I think I'll go home now. On the cross, after 3 years of intense ministry, the crowds were saying, be quiet, hush, let's hear what he has to say. And he says, tetelestai, I'm thirsty, I think I'll go home now.
Yeah.
He was buried in a tomb, a well. Can I just say this? A well that was closed with a stone.
Ooh.
A heavy stone.
Yeah.
He was there all day Friday. And he was there all day Saturday. But on the third day.
Hallelujah.
The Lord Jesus Christ did what Jacob did. He opened the mouth of the well. And living water burst out from that well, didn't it? And it watered not just one flock, but all flocks. But in order for that to happen, something was a prerequisite. All the flocks had to be gathered before the well could be opened. But in John's gospel, behold, this was already prophesied.
That's right.
For the text says in John's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 51, that this was prophesied that one man should die for the nation, and not only for the nation, but also to gather into one all the scattered sheep of God. What were these three flocks? Thank you, my Genesis readers. After Adam was created, and Eve, mankind became more and more and more and more and more and more sinful. And God had to judge the whole world. And he sent a flood upon the whole world. And yet through Noah, all life was preserved. And Noah came out of the ark with three sons who would populate the whole earth. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So that through Jesus, all the flocks of the earth would indeed be blessed.
Yeah.
Wow.
Here's my question to you. Have you been watered by that well?
It's good, Dad. It's good.
Have you been served by that husband? Because our Lord Jesus, after rising from the dead, did not stop running after us. He did not stop laboring. As a matter of fact, he ascended into heaven where he is still laboring today, interceding for the church even right now. And he will continue on until he returns, and he won't stop his work. He will not stop his labor of love, for he will make all things new, and he will throw into the lake of fire that evil one, that ancient serpent, the Satan and death itself. And he will set up a brand new place for us. All of earth will get a makeover. And we ourselves who are thirsty will be invited to another well. Have you run to that well? Are you the wife of the bride? Are you the genie he is pursuing? Or are you still out here wilding on your own? My ask here is not hypothetical, Christian. If you are in Christ and you have been running and you have been wilding, understand this, like Forrest, he ain't never gonna stop running after you. But if you are an unbeliever, you are still running, and you are still wilding, hear me, please. There is coming a point in time where the running will be over. And I am praying before that day ends, before that day comes, that you will turn to the only husband you will ever need, ever want, ever desire.
Yeah.
My prayer is that through this particular text, we will see Jesus, who extended to us the greatest labor of love.